The scriptures, when you get familiar with the scriptures, as I'm sure you are, you will find that the scriptures are so varied. There are some times when Jesus says things that are so deep and complicated in meaning that people had to come to him and ask him, "What do you mean? This doesn't make sense." The answers were not obvious. Sometimes when Jesus said things, it was like, what is he getting at? But there are other times when Jesus, he gave it very plain and simple. That's the kind I like, you know, frankly. He just laid it out so simple that a five-year-old would get it. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it's one of those verses where Jesus gives it plain and simple. And he says simply this. He said, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." The law and the prophets, such complicated works, such complicated texts, hundreds of laws and instructions and details and what you can do and what you can't do and how you're supposed to do it and when you're supposed to do it. And then there was interpretations of the laws and interpretations on the interpretations perhaps. And there were people who dedicated their lives in studying and understanding the law and the prophets, deep and wide. And Jesus comes along. I love it. He sums it all up in one simple phrase: in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For in this, it sums up the law and the prophets. That's it. Doing to others as you would have them do to you is the summary of all the law and the prophets. I love it. Keeping it simple. Remembrance Day is a great example of this. Doing to or for others as you'd have them do for you. When I think of Remembrance Day, I am compelled to wonder, what was it that pushed thousands of young people in the prime of their life to risk life and limb and head off, often to foreign countries, and not know for sure if they're even going to come back? It was just a couple of days ago, I was skimming through Facebook and I saw a picture that one of my Facebook friends had posted. Some of you would know her. And it was a picture of her mom and dad the day before he was going off to war. And there are lots of people who have pictures of a couple the day before or the day of that they were going off to war. That's not unusual. But what's unusual about this particular picture is it was the picture of their wedding day. Imagine getting married one day and going off to war the next, and not knowing when you're going to come back. In this particular case, he came back 5 years later, and there was another picture of them together with big smiles. But imagine that. What compels someone to do something like that? Talk about being willing to sacrifice, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. The more important the desired outcome is, the greater the sacrifice someone is willing to make. We all know what happened September 11, 2001. 3 days later, on September 14, it was declared a national day of prayer and remembrance in the United States. And during a speech that day, then President George Bush said this. He said, we see our national character in rescuers working past exhaustion, in long lines of blood donors, in thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve in any possible way. When there's good reason, people will make astounding sacrifices. They will work past exhaustion. Another example I could think of that is more closer to home for us is the Klondike Gold Rush. Well, it happened over 100 years ago, we know that, but think about it. Thousands of people were uprooted, many of them taking whatever little savings they had, pouring it into supplies and transportation to get to Alaska, and from there, the back-breaking, bone-chilling work began. If you thought it was cold this morning here, when we start our cars and get into our car and come to church, that's nothing. And they get over the trail and how many times they had to go up and down with heavy loads, and they end up in Bennett where they build some kind of watercraft, and they go down a river system and through rapids, and some don't make it. So much risk, so much sacrifice. Why? Well, because they believed that the reason they were going was going to be worth it for them. There were supposed to be nuggets of gold just sitting in the creeks waiting to be collected. Enough for everybody. Just come and get it. And so because their reward was so great, or so they thought, they were willing to make a great sacrifice. One last example. An individual or a couple decide to take a child in foster care. Anybody here take a child in foster care before? Yeah, we did too. Yeah, there's a few others that did. I know. Your life is already in order. You don't need someone else in the home. Life is good. It's in place. You know, you're thinking maybe I'll sit back and relax a little bit. Why would someone take a child into their home? Because there's a need, right? The children of today become the adults of tomorrow. What kind of future would they have? You care for a child because you care. And so you make sacrifices, right? I mean, it is. There are sacrifices. Or as Jesus said, do to others as you'd have them do to you. In all these examples, and many more that we won't give, the bottom line is this. The greater the value of what you are striving for, the greater the sacrifice you will make. It's true. Yesterday, Heather and I went to Haines Junction just for a little trip. We stopped at Otter Falls on our way back and had lunch. And, I have where is it? It's in my wallet. Do you know I keep a comb in my wallet? Did you know that? I can keep a comb in my wallet. There it is. I think I might have showed it to you once before. Cute little comb, right? There's benefits to having short hair and little hair. If I left that at Otter Falls in the washroom, and I'm driving, even if I'm 5 minutes or 10 minutes down the road, I'm not going to turn back and get it. Oh, I forgot my comb. I better go back and get it. I'm not going to do that, right? Now, if I had forgotten my wallet at the table or a new cell phone at the table, I could be almost in Whitehorse. I might even be in Whitehorse. And I'm going to say, I think I'm going to go back and get that now. You know, the greater the value of something, the more we're willing to sacrifice. Makes sense. So why do I bring all this up? I bring all this up to say that when we value something deeply, the sacrifices become no sacrifice at all. They become a willing part of our lives. Which leads me to this question. What kind of sacrifices are we making? What kind of sacrifices do I make in my life? What kind of sacrifices do you make in your life? Because the sacrifices we make, if we can actually consider that question, will reveal what is truly important and valuable in our lives. Now, I know there are many times when I have done something, besides for my family, of course. I've gone out of my way, sometimes quite a bit out of the way, to help somebody. One time I went to Burwash Landing and helped a person out who had called me. I didn't know them. They had been in an accident. We went out, we helped them. One time, drove to Watson Lake and helped another person out. I knew these people. They weren't huge sacrifices, but they reveal that some people, some things are important to me. What we sacrifice for reveals what is important. And of course, with tomorrow being Remembrance Day, we think about the sacrifice that people made for strangers. They didn't even know them. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Some of the people, and you know this well, some of the people who went and served their country did lay down their lives. Others came back, but they came back broken, physically, mentally, or emotionally. Huge sacrifices were made. Why? Because they valued freedom. Freedom from tyranny, freedom from bondage, freedom from oppression, and in many cases, in most cases, they valued the lives of people they didn't even personally know. The greatness of a sacrifice reveals the value that is being placed on something or someone. Now let's take that thought for a moment and consider the greatest sacrifice ever made. Truth is, there have been many people who have laid down their lives for others. And we applaud them. We remember them. We honor them. There are books on the Christian martyrs, men and women who have died for Christ. You could read the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Amazing, horrifying stories of what people went through because of their love for Christ. You could read the last few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter talking about the heroes of the faith and the sacrifices that were made in people's lives. People willingly giving their lives for others or for a cause. That's more, far more than anything I have done or likely will be called to do. But even that isn't the greatest. The greatest sacrifice ever made was one that was made for you and for me and for all mankind. And we find a hint of it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Where the scripture says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is that the greatest sacrifice? Others have given their lives. That is the greatest sacrifice because Jesus was the perfect, sinless, completely innocent Son of God. The creator of all things, the owner of all things, the master of everything, and he lays down his life as a sacrifice for all humanity so that we might live. And do note that Jesus did not just die for his friends. Paul emphasized in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that Christ died for the ungodly. In Romans 6, verse 10, we read, "For the death that he died to sin once for all." There was no favoritism with Jesus. There were no first class and second class and those who are in and those who are out. He died for all. And he died for all because he loves all. He does not want any to perish, but all to have eternal life. The greatest sacrifice ever made was by the greatest person that ever lived, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is the point I wanted to make this morning. It's not actually the point of this message is not about the sacrifice of Jesus, although that is incredibly important. It's the fact that the sacrifice of Jesus points to something else. It points to the value that God places in you. Think about it for a moment. Remember the point I made earlier. The greater the value in something or someone, the greater our willingness to sacrifice for it. And so it stands to reason, the greatest sacrifice must imply the greatest value. And the point is this, you are that value. It is you who God values so incredibly much. From the beginning of time, God knew you, he has loved you, and the truth of the matter is this, if you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much God loves you. You are more incredibly valuable than you could even imagine when you consider the extent to which Jesus went for you. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the value. To this world, you might be nothing special. You'll likely never win the Nobel Peace Prize. You might not have some great invention named after you. You might not discover a cure. You won't have a mountain named after you. Rats. You won't be the fastest. You won't be the smartest. You won't be the strongest or anything else. But to God, you are priceless. You are precious. And here's the point of the message. You are worth dying for. Think about that. You, no matter who you are, doesn't matter where you've been,
Doesn't matter what kind of a situation you've been raised in, what kind of things you've been involved in, what kind of life you've lived. You are worth dying for. His love for you is greater than anything you can even imagine. So that leaves us with the question, how will we respond to God's love for us, for you? Really, there are only two options. We either reject it and push God away, or we embrace it and welcome God into our lives. There are no other options. We're either embracing God and his love for us, which leads to life spiritually, or we're rejecting God and his love, and it leads to death spiritually. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, yet to all who received him, doesn't say all who received him who were this or that or who had done this or went through these hoops and hurdles or came up with this and gave that, no, none of that. Yet to all who received him, who received God's love and grace and forgiveness, the recognition that Jesus died for them, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Why? Because you are valuable to him. You are worth dying for. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. And I pray that if you have not already received him and embraced him in your life, that you would do so today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you today, and Lord, we do thank you, Father, for the great love and sacrifice poured out for us in the person of Jesus Christ, because you love us. Father God, I thank you for your great love, and I pray that for every one of us here, that your love would compel us to embrace you, to receive you, to give our lives to you in return, and to live for you in accordance to your good pleasure for us. Father, where there have been situations where we have pushed you away, we pray for forgiveness from that. Father, where there have been situations where we have hurt the one who loves us because of our choices, we pray, Father, for forgiveness from that and wisdom and grace to move forward in directions, Lord, that walk with you. And Lord, for every one of us, may we just be grateful for the sacrifice and the love of our Lord and Savior. And may your love for us compel us to love one another in the way that you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.